You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants. Today is Friday, September 7, 2018, and you're with Patricia Traina and Ed Valentine. We are your co-hosts, and we are getting you ready for the New York Giants 2018 regular season opener. They open this weekend at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I thought today we would go through some of the keys to the game, maybe some of the things we were looking forward to watching on Sunday, and just kind of get everybody ready for the for real football that finally returns to MetLife Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, Patty, the thing that I'm looking forward to the most is real football that actually counts.
Yeah, I think everybody is. You know, last night, of course, was NFL kickoff, the Eagles and Falcons, in a game that was kind of sloppy. I think there were about 18 penalties between the two teams. So hopefully, you know, when the Giants and Jaguars take the field, the football's a little bit crisper. But, you know, we'll see how it kind of all falls into shape. So, Ed, what we're going to do on today's show, obviously, is we're going to go through some of the things we're looking forward to, matchups, schemes, whatever, you know, whatever we have on our list. We'll go back and forth, and we'll discuss these various things to get people ready for Sunday's game. So why don't you kick it off with the first thing you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, Patty, you know, obviously we look at the Giants' offense, and we look at the fact that, you know, that this will be the first time that we see Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley and all of the Giants' weapons on the field at the same time. You know, but this is the Jacksonville defense is an incredibly good defense. What I'm looking forward to is seeing how Pat Shurmur puts all of the pieces together. He comes to the Giants, you know, having been a highly successful play caller, offensive coordinator in Minnesota and in other places. And what I'm looking forward to seeing is how he attacks this Jacksonville defense, how he tries to scheme to get some of these guys open. You know, because I'm just in the process of writing something at Big Blue View, and part of what I'm talking about is the fact that they can't just line up and expect to beat this team, no matter how good their skill position players are. You know, Jacksonville is too good. So, I mean, for me, this is really a really early test for Pat Shurmur, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how he intends to put all of these pieces together.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And, you know, as much as I'm glad the Giants have a bunch of different options, what I'm kind of curious to see is how they use them all. I mean, let's be realistic. I don't think, you know, let's say the Giants throw 40 balls a game, which hopefully they won't, because then I'm not so sure they'll be balanced. But, you know, how are they going to distribute everything? You know, obviously, I guess they look for matchups and everything like that. But, you know, I think sometimes when you have that many targets and skill players at your disposal, I just wonder if the temptation is there to kind of spread things out a lot. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that per se, but, you know, at the same time, you kind of want to try and get guys in rhythm. So I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on, certainly. And you know, you mentioned Odell Beckham Jr. This will be his first football in almost a year. Saquon Barkley, he's going to make his NFL debut, his official NFL debut. Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard, just so many options. And it's going to be, you know, this is going to be an advanced chess match against a very, very good Jacksonville Jaguars team.
It certainly is, Patty. You know, everybody's looking forward to Odell Beckham versus Jalen Ramsey. You know, but for me, it comes down to, you know, as I said, how the Giants scheme this, how they attack Jacksonville. Is Eli Manning going to be able to come up to the line of scrimmage and find a mismatch with all of the weapons that he has? And then on top of that, you know, is he actually going to be able to have the time to stay in rhythm and deliver the ball, you know, when he finds that mismatch?
Yeah, that's going to be key. And then, you know, along those lines, Ed, you know, we've got to talk about the offensive line, because I think we can both agree that while on paper this line is improved, sometimes we didn't always see that cohesiveness in the preseason. Now, to be fair, they did not put together a full game. You know, that's just the nature of the beast with preseason. But, you know, sometimes there's a belief with an offensive line that the more they work together, the more cohesive they're going to be. And I don't remember exactly how many snaps the starting unit took as a whole in the preseason. I know it probably was maybe around or less what you would take in a regular, you know, one regular season game. But we did see little things that I think we have to keep an eye on. For example, you know, you've got a Jacksonville defense that likes to run a lot of exotic fronts, a lot of twists and stunts. And it is so important for an offensive line to be, you know, to have that communication down, to have the center, you know, be able to recognize that and make the proper calls and whatnot. And if there's one thing on offense that I'm a little squeamish about, that would probably be it.
Oh, I would agree, Patty. The offensive line for the Giants is going to be a work in progress for a while. We're going to have to see how that communication develops. And, you know, let's be realistic against Jacksonville. I would assume on Sunday that we're going to see some plays that look ugly. It's just going to happen. You know, the question is, can there be more good plays than bad plays? Can there be enough good plays that the Giants can keep some drives together, you know, where they stay on schedule? You know, can they make a couple of big plays with Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley? I mean, you know, when you talk about individual matchups in particular, I'm obviously kind of focused on Ereck Flowers versus Calais Campbell. You know, Flowers, you know, making his official debut at right tackle, is going to face an awful lot of very good defensive ends, you know, this season. Campbell is one of them. He's one of the best in the league. And I think, you know, the Giants are going to help Flowers, but, you know, but at least having a chance to neutralize Calais Campbell is going to be part of what the Giants are going to have to do to have some success on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I'm optimistic about the offensive line. I do think that once they hit their stride, they're going to be a very good unit. But these first few games, you know, I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't a little bit concerned with the cohesiveness, with the communication. You know, these guys, and I spent a lot of time this week talking to the guys on the offensive line, and they tell me, look, we're in the meeting rooms together, you know, we're constantly hanging out, you know, we're building that cohesiveness. And that's all well and good, but that true football cohesiveness doesn't come until you're on the field in the heat of battle, where you have a split second to react to what the opponent is trying to do to you. That's when it really comes together. You know, that's when you start to say, okay, if this guy comes through this gap, I know my guard is going to do this. And I don't know if the Giants offensive line is just there right now. So it will be interesting to see how they function. And I want to mention also Eli Manning, because, you know, he's a guy who is so critical to this offense's success. And, you know, we've spoken and written about how good Eli has looked throwing all spring, all summer. You know, really, though, if you boil it down, no more excuses for Eli. You can't say that he has, you know, a garbage offensive line. At least we don't think he does. You can't say that he doesn't have a running game. You can't say that he doesn't have receivers and tight ends make plays. So when I look at Eli Manning, I see a guy who probably has, you know, a lot to prove this year, especially given how his seasons have gone of late.
Sure, Patty. You know, obviously, you look at Eli, and I mean, the one question that we have in terms of when you say no more excuses, obviously, the biggest question will be the offensive line. We think it will be better, but all in all, you know, the Eli has looked good throughout the spring and summer. He's got the best set of weapons that we've seen, you know, surrounding him in a long, long time. We believe he still has the arm strength to get it done. And I've said this multiple times. The Giants made the choice to go all in on Eli Manning. They made the choice basically to push off, you know, looking to the future and finding, you know, the quarterback to replace Eli, you know, for the next decade. They pushed that decision down the road. Now it's up to Eli Manning to prove the Giants right. I think he still has the skill set to do that for a year or two, you know, but beginning Sunday, we find out. So, yeah, there's definitely pressure on Eli. All of this offseason, all of the way that the Giants have gone about their business, you know, for the last few months, is to give Eli Manning the best opportunity to win. And now it's time for him to show that they were right.
It absolutely is. And I mean, the immediate future of the franchise counts on it, because if you think about it, this is a guy who has a very, very heavy cap hit. And, you know, if he should go out there and, God forbid, bomb, and, you know, I don't think he will, but if he goes out there and he just doesn't play well, now the Giants have a very interesting decision to make after the season with a guy who I think is going to count for $22.3 million against their 2019 cap. You know, I really believe the Giants think that Eli has years, plural, left in his arm. But he's got to go out there and show it. And you know, with everything around him now falling into place, there's really no more excuses for this guy. So hopefully Eli will go out and we will see the Eli of, you know, from several years ago, not necessarily the one from the McAdoo era, and all will be right with the Giants world again. Ed, let's take a quick break, and we'll hear from our sponsor, and then we'll talk about the defense when we come back.
You know, Giants fans, ever since Patty and I started this podcast and actually started working together in a variety of ways, people have been asking us for advice. Often, that involves what team to bet on this week. Truth is, we don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. MyBookie is your best bet this season. MyBookie has been in business for years, has great reviews online, and has a mobile site that is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. We urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. MyBookie has in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy football players out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right. Welcome back to segment two of Locked On Giants. This is Patricia Trainin. I'm here with Ed Valentine. And we are previewing this weekend's Giants Jaguars regular season opener. And Ed, let's kind of turn over the page to the defense and what we anticipate we might want to be looking for this weekend with the defense. And I think we've got to start on the Giants side of things, at least, with the fact that it just doesn't look good for Olivier Vernon, who has been dealing with a sprained ankle. You know, some reports claim it's a high ankle sprain. Some claim it's just a regular sprain with a bruise high up on the ankle. Whatever it is, the man hasn't been able to practice since suffering the injury, and I'm not feeling very warm and fuzzy about him being out there Sunday.
I'm not either, Patty. Pat Shurmur talked about on Wednesday, I think he said, you know, he's making great progress. He looks like a fast healer. And the more we see him not get out on the practice field, you know, maybe a little bit of that is just blowing smoke, or a little bit of that is just, you know, Shurmur trying to be optimistic. But at this point, Maybe Vernon tries to practice today. Maybe he gives it a little bit of a go Sunday morning, tests that ankle out. But I think we know that even if he does play, it's going to have to be in a limited fashion, and it's probably going to be with limited effectiveness. And that's a problem for the Giants, because he is really, you know, he had a tremendous summer. He looked to have made the adjustment to the new defense really, really well. And he is the one part of their pass rush in terms of an individual, you know, that they thought they could really depend on. And that's a problem.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, they're facing a quarterback in Blake Bortles who, if you get after him and you pressure him, he's going to make mistakes. I mean, he has shown that last year, you know, with interceptions, with hurried throws. And now that you have, you know, your secondary, your defensive secondary back intact with Janoris Jenkins, Landon Collins, Eli Apple, and you know, newcomer Curtis Riley, you want to try and get pressure on the guy. Ideally, you know, you want to do it with as few guys as possible. And I'm just wondering where that pressure is going to come from. You know, James Betcher is the guy who's going to have to figure all that out, obviously. And, I think he has a plan in mind, you know, and a plan B in case he doesn't have Vernon, which, again, I don't think he will. But, you know, the other thing you got to be careful of with Jacksonville, and this could maybe alleviate the concern of not having Vernon, is Jacksonville runs a lot of screens. And, you know, so maybe they don't bring as much pressure, you know, they pay more attention to the screen game, especially since I believe Jacksonville's missing, what, their top receiver. They lost their top receiver for the year. So I'm very curious to see how that kind of plays out.
Patty, you know, obviously it puts a lot of pressure on, you know, Connor Barwin, who's a veteran pass rusher. Lorenzo Carter, who's a rookie that the Giants have a lot of hope for, you know, but it's definitely a problem because you really, you know, I've said this before, James Betcher's very aggressive. He likes to dial up exotic packages. He likes to do things. But if you dial up exotic blitz packages with guys who are rushing that don't usually rush, and then, you know, guys who are covering who aren't used to being back in coverage, and you don't get home, you know, then you have a problem, because then you have guys in all sorts of positions that they're not comfortable being in. You create weaknesses, and it just scares me. I mean, you know, that if the Giants can't rush the passer at all.
Yeah, you have to have something of a rush. And you know, we saw in the preseason, Betcher ran a lot of blitzes from the secondary. But and who knows? They might just do that. They might say, you know, look, Jacksonville's skill players, you know, again, they're missing their top receiver. So maybe they dial up a few more of those than they would ordinarily. I mean, who knows? But, you know, another thing that I'm kind of concerned with the defense is, you know, like the offense, they haven't played together, you know, a full game. And given the newness and just, you know, how things are flipping in and out, you know, how cohesive will they be? You know, I talk to the players again, and they say the communication is great. You know, we're getting a feel for each other. And they've all stressed that the defense this year, even though it's going to look a little bit more exotic and like an organized, you know, fire drill of sorts, they say that it's simpler than what they ran last year. So I'm kind of curious to see how that all plays out for them.
It's a valid concern, but I really think when you come to Sunday, I know that, you know, the Giants made, you know, all the roster moves they made this week. I think they made 8, and I believe 6 of those were on the defensive side. But when I think about Sunday, I think that the guys we're going to see on the field taking the vast majority of the snaps, you know, are the ones that have been, you know, in the program, you know, through training camp, through the preseason. I don't think we're going to see a lot of those new faces take a whole lot of snaps. So I'm not as concerned about that communication part, at least initially. Patty, I have to say, you know, just to switch topics a little bit, the one thing defensively that we haven't talked about that I keep coming back to that I'm really, really curious about is the running game. Dave Gettleman talked, you know, when he first became Giants general manager, he talked about the basic tenets of football. You run the football, you know, defend the run, rush the passer. The Giants went out of their way to add guys like B.J. Hill to the defense. B.J. Hill, I think in the spring when I talked to him, he talked about the Giants wanting to build a wall against the run on defense. And through the preseason, that looked really good. But this, facing Jacksonville in a game that counts, is a different animal. This is a team that I think was first in the league last year in both rushing yards and rushing attempts. This is a team that's going to pound the ball right at that defensive front and find out what it's all about. And for me, I'm just incredibly curious to find out how well that defensive front will hold up, you know, when the Jaguars come pounding at them.
Yeah, I am as well. And, you know, another thing that I kind of found interesting just based on the construction of the Giants roster is that Dave Gettleman in the spring during the draft spoke about the importance of having a deep defensive line for rotational purposes. Now, unless you count the defensive ends that are now outside linebackers, they have, what, 5 or 6 guys, which I don't know that I would consider that a deep rotation. You know, when you think deep, you think like 7, 8 guys. So I'm just kind of interested to see how they put all that together and how they work out a rotation. Because, look, we've talked about this before. Damon Harrison is a fantastic and key piece to that defense, but you cannot continue to keep asking him to take the workload that he has taken the last couple of years, which, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know that he's taken the highest number of snaps in his career since coming to the Giants. So you can't keep asking him to do that, especially, you know, as he gets older, especially if there are concerns about, you know, any ailments that he might be nursing or whatever. You got to give the man a breather. And I think that's why the Giants have suffered some injuries late in the year. Guys get banged up and they lose some steam and they just can't quite make it to the finish line. You know, the effort's there, but, you know, if the body doesn't let you, you know, put the effort in, then what are you going to do? So I'd like to just see how Betcher's going to put this all together. And, you know, we won't get all the answers in 1 week, but certainly we will get a good look and start to get a good feel.
Certainly, I think, Patty, that the idea that the Giants brought in, you know, Mario Edwards and John Jenkins, you know, pair of defensive linemen this week, you know, was an effort to continue to build that depth and continue to upgrade, you know, the guys who would come in the game and give a rest to, you know, Damon Harrison, to Dalvin Tomlinson, those kind of guys. But, you know, it's still a work in progress. I'm just really curious to see, you know, the Giants are banking a lot because they don't have a ton of individually dynamic pass rushers. I think what they're banking on is building that wall against the run, being stout there, forcing teams into longer yardage situations where, you know, James Betcher can use, you know, some of that exotic play calling, some of those blitz packages, you know, some of those ways to scheme up pressure. And so the Giants are going to have to be really good against the run. And this is just when you look at Jacksonville, it's the toughest possible test, you know, against a running game that you could get, you know, entering the season.
Yeah, and you know, we have to mention Leonard Fournette, who's you know, that big running back that the Jaguars have. He's a downhill runner, a guy who does most of his damage between the tackles. And so that he's going to be a really, really good test, not just for that, you know, defensive front, but also for inside linebackers Alec Ogletree and B.J. Goodson, who are going to be part of the group that's going to have to try and keep this guy from getting too deep into the second level. So I spoke with Landon Collins yesterday about Fournette, and he said, you know, without giving anything away, you know, this guy is just a bowling ball when he gets started downhill. And it's something that, you know, you're going to have to pay attention to, because, you know, that's where he can really run you over. And then the other aspect of it is that because Fournette is so darn big, I mean, think Brandon Jacobs like in size, you can't just, you know, tap this guy and expect him to go down. You have to wrap him up. You know, you have to be fundamentally sound with your tackling technique. And, you know, that's another under the radar type of thing that I think you have to keep on this one. All right. So, Ed, let's take a quick break, our second break, for another word from our sponsor, and then we'll come back in the third segment and talk about special teams. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to Locked On Giants. This is Patricia Traynor with Ed Valentine, and we are getting you ready for Sunday's regular season opener. Giants host the Jacksonville Jaguars. The return of Tom Coughlin, who is expected to make the trip up with Jacksonville. And we've spoken already about offense and defense. So, Ed, let's turn our attention now to special teams and what we are looking forward to seeing.
Patty, I have one thing only when it comes to special teams, really. And it's something that I think we're going to see at some point this year if we don't see it on Sunday. You know, Pat Shurmur's hinted at it a few times. Thomas McGahee said yesterday, you know, that he would love to see it. But I just keep wondering if we're going to see Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley, you know, do some of the kick and punt returning. I'm pretty sure we're going to see it at some point this year. And against a good team like Jacksonville in a fourth quarter, you know, when the Giants might need a play, it wouldn't shock me at all if we see it on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to see it, because I lived through the Jason Sehorn era, and I witnessed that unfortunate hit that he took. But, you know, I guess at this point you got to say to yourself, look, you know, guys can get hurt even if it's not on a kickoff. We saw that last year with Odell getting hurt on a play from scrimmage. So I think, you know, we got to try and beat that out of our brains and say, you know, look, yeah, it's a risk, but is it any more of a risk than putting a guy out there on the field for what he normally would do? The Giants, you know, it's interesting. They cut Hunter Sharp, which, you know, I can't say I'm honestly surprised about that. And they brought in another young man, and oh, God, the name escapes me. That just goes to show you how much they've shaken up that roster.
It's Patty, it's Kalen Clay.
Kalen Clay, okay. So they brought him in, and he's probably going to do the punt returns. I think Cody Latimer will probably be the guy they look at for kickoff returns. But I think you're right, Ed. If the Giants need that spark, it would not stun me to see Beckham or Barkley used, you know, in select situations to give them that spark.
You know, McGahee said it yesterday, Patty. He said, you know, something that I have been saying, you know, all along. The job is to win the football game. And when you have dynamic players like that, you do what you have to put the football in their hands, you know, with an opportunity to make a difference. And, you know, push comes to shove, I think we're going to see it, you know, with at least Beckham. I think Beckham's done a lot more work with the kick return units than Barkley has. But I won't be surprised at all. I mean, and yeah, I know about Jason Sehorn. I saw that game, but people have to just let it go. I mean, let's put it this way. How many kickoff return injuries or kickoff returners, you know, for the Giants have we seen get hurt since then? I mean, people can't let that go, but, you know, but any time you're out on a football field is a risk. And to me, I want to see the Giants go down. If they're going to go down, I want to see them go down having taken their best shot at winning a game. And if that means, you know, in the fourth quarter, they have to use Odell Beckham to return a punt, then so be it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Ed. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily like the decision, but I can't fault a coach for doing what it takes to win. And if Odell Beckham Jr. or Saquon Barkley give you your best opportunity at that particular juncture in the game and you don't take advantage of it, then I think you should go find another profession. You have to take, you know, look, coaching football has a certain degree of risk in it. You know, and every time you put a player out there, given the violent nature of the game, he's at risk. I mean, there's no other way around it. So, you know, you want to be smart. You want to be smart when you're out there, but you also can't play scared. And I think, you know, for all the people who, when they read that, you know, that Beckham fields punts in practice and they go, why? What's wrong with the Giants? You know, you can't keep living in the past and being afraid of that because, like I said, you know, we saw last year Beckham be lost for the season on a regular play from scrimmage. So, you know, by that thinking, do we say, oh, well, we can't put Beckham out there on certain pattern, you know, on a slant pattern because he got hurt on it? No, you can't. You just can't operate like that. So, you know, I don't think it's the Giants' first preference, but, you know, like you said, I could see it very much being a possibility on more than one occasion.
Oh, sure, Patty. You know, when I look at the long term of this entire season, I mean, it's very possible that you come down to the last game or two, you know, that one or two games and one or two plays will make the difference between the Giants making and missing the playoffs before the year is over. And if Saquon or Odell, you know, can make that play on a return that winds up, you know, putting the Giants in the playoffs or wins them a game that helps them get to the playoffs, then that's a good thing.
It sure is. It sure is. So, you know what? It's going to be a good game all the way around. Again, the return of Tom Coughlin, which is always fun. You know, it's a great way to start off the regular season. You got a Jaguars team, which last year I think was a few plays away from making the Super Bowl. So a really, really good test for Pat Shurmur's revamped Giants team, and one I am very much looking forward to seeing unfold.
Me too, Patty. I will see you at the stadium on Sunday morning. And Giants fans, we, you know, we have tons of previews at Big Blue View. We'll continue to have previews through Sunday. Patty and I will be making our predictions on the game on Sunday at Big Blue View. So look forward to that, and look forward to all of our coverage.
Ditto. Thanks so much for listening, Giant fans, and we will be back with you next week. Make sure you enjoy your football Sunday, and thanks as always for your support.